Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. As Ontario slowly emerges from the pandemic, the role of health services in Northumberland will begin to change. On this week's show, there are two interviews about how those services will be shifting. The first is an interview with Chris Bailey, the chair of the board for the Northumberland Community Counseling Centre. It just announced it will be closing at the end of the month. It provides mental health services for about 1,000 people a year, mostly free of charge. Bailey said it will be devastating to the community, but it has a plan to save the service, but everything is hanging in the balance as the provincial government decides its future. I'm so pleased to have with me today Chris Bailey, Chair of the Board of Directors for the Northumberland Community Counseling Centre. Welcome to Consider This.
Thank you, Rob, and thank you for having me on again. As you said, it's been just over a year, and I'm glad you reached out to us at this time.
The centre announced it would be shutting its doors at the end of July. Can you tell me what happened?
Yes, this is a complicated story. So we did send out a notice this week just letting our community know that we will probably be shutting our doors July 31st unless some other things occur. The long and short of it is that the pandemic took its toll on our agency. We're small. We bring in just over $400,000. And we lost almost $60,000 of fundraising because we couldn't have our fundraiser. And in March, we looked at our finances and our board met, and we realized that we could not sustain another even 6 to 8 months of pandemic. And so we voted that we would cease operations this year because it was an unsustainable model. But we didn't just say, okay, we're not doing this anymore. We pursued a proposal for merger of services and then eventually relinquishing all control to Community Counseling and Resource Centre of Peterborough. They, too, are a Family Service Ontario organization, offer the same services as we do, have the same qualified staff. They do it for the Peterborough area. And only they're 5 times larger, and they've been able to withstand the pandemic much better. And they would provide the proper financial and administrative infrastructure and offer to keep our own staff in place and in the building and run it as a satellite operation. And so that was our proposal, and we thought, this is a fabulous solution, a change in management. And it's like giving up a child that you love to a foster family or for adoption because you know they can do better with it. And so this is what we pursued and thought that is such a good proposal, made good mental health planning sense because the same clients would be served by the same people. There would be no discontinuity. But two of our large sources of income come from the ministry, two ministries, and they told us that they had to retender our contracts rather than, and were unable just to hand it over to CCRC. And so that's what we have been waiting for, and we still don't know the outcome. CCRC, or Community Counseling Resource Centre, has applied for both of those contracts, and we were told that they will hear this week for one contract and the first week of July for the second as to whether they were successful in getting them. The reason it's so critical is that you need almost all three sources of income, the third being Northumberland United Way, who have been amazingly supportive and flexible and saw the proposal and took it to their board and thought it was a good idea. But we need all three legs it's like a three-legged stool, to have the critical mass to keep the doors open of that agency. And so that's why it's quite critical that CCRC be able to obtain those two other contracts. So that's sort of the long side of it. We are still hopeful that CCRC will get the contracts, and we have been working very closely with them constantly over the last 12 weeks almost now, and it'll be a smooth transition. Our staff want to work for them, and they want to retain our staff, and it would be a win-win situation.
So why did you send out a letter then to say that you were going to close if there's this lifeboat that's sitting there that is waiting to take you and to keep this important service in our community?
Well, I had to send something out because people know about it and we're starting to talk about it. And when there's a gap of information, they fill in things. So lots of our clients had heard because it was mentioned at different planning tables in the ministry too, and planning bodies mentioned it. And so it was out there. And so we decided that we should let people know that, yes, this is a likely scenario. And in the letter, I did say we are still hopeful that we can still, you know, accomplish part or all of this proposal, and that NCC would turn into a satellite office. Either way, NCC, as we are, will cease to exist because we will dissolve July 31st. We've already commenced doing that, and we've given up the contracts. So it is correct. NCC, as it is right now, will cease July 31st. We are hopeful that the building, the staff, the clients will just be a satellite of CCRC if they are successful in getting those contracts.
I'd like to put this into context within the mental health community, because there's always been in our area concern around the amount of mental health services that we have available locally. And for a very long time, it was that you had to go out of our area to get mental health services. And then over the years, it has been building up. There's been through the hospital, there's some services, there's some private counselors. There are different places where you can go. What role does your organization play within the context of the overarching mental health services in our region?
Our role is quite important. It fills a gap where we see families and couples and individuals who may not necessarily qualify for care with the hospital outpatient service, and who may be also waiting a while for services from CNARC. But we do primary mental health care. Our specialty is trauma work, and no one else in our area really has the trained staff that we do to do the trauma work that we do with both with everyone, men, women, and children. So, and as a family service organization of Ontario, our mission is to provide professional and affordable mental health counseling to anyone, regardless of their ability to pay. So many, many of our clients paid nothing. And that's the gap we fill, because private practice practitioners, of course, they can deliver some of the services, but, you know, most of our clients would not be able to afford to go there. We have a sliding scale, and it begins at zero, and it ends at $125 an hour. And the majority of our clients are at zero, at $8, maybe $24 an hour, and they get top-notch counseling. So that's the role that we fill. And probably more importantly is that we do couples counseling and family therapy, and that's preventive, in addition to being therapeutic and reactive to a situation. And I think a lot of the work that we've been doing has prevented more pain in these families.
How many people do you serve annually?
We see approximately 1,000 people a year, which is huge. And the majority of those are through the United Way-funded community counseling program, for which we are quite well known. That's trauma, couples, individual, and we do kids as well who have had trauma. And then we also see approximately 75, usually men, mainly men, in the partner assault program, which is nice because when we run them through the program, it's a mandatory program. But at the end, they realize that they need help too, and usually three or four in each of the 25 member group come for additional trauma therapy for themselves. So, and then we also are a violence against women, an agency that concentrates on that, and we have seen many, many children and women who have experienced extreme violence, and it's more than supportive counseling what we do. It's therapeutic. It's therapy that we provide, trauma therapy.
This lifeboat that you're hoping will arrive from Peterborough, there are also a number of other factors that are working into this, and it needs support on a lot of levels. Have you spoken to our MPP, David Puccini, about this, and what level of support is he providing?
I contacted David Puccini with a proposal a number of weeks ago, a couple months ago, actually, at the beginning, and because he was so active in mental health, and he had actually invited our agency to sit at the table when he was talking about it, and I wrote lots of notes for him that I thought this is how we could improve the area, and he seemed that he was interested. I thought that he would say, "Hey, what can I do to help you here, or we can't lose you, or something like that," and he was not supportive of the proposal. He was afraid that it would be seen as, I think the term he used, hemorrhaging of dollars out of our area into Peterborough, because the receiving agency, CCRC, is Peterborough-based. And I kept saying, but the services and the clients and the staff are here. All that changes is head office is in Peterborough. And he disagreed with that. And I had other people, I know other people also advocated for us, that Way went in there and tried to, help them understand. I know Susan Wells, who the executive director of Family Services Ontario, over the 50 plus agencies that form our alliance, she contacted him, and we heard nothing back. So there was no support there. And I don't know what else happened. Have not heard he's ever gotten back to us. It was disappointing.
So
I think that's a good thing.
Let's put a fine point on it then. How much money do you need to operate, and where do those monies come from right now?
Well, right now, we just finished our audit. We brought in just over $430,000 last year. $233,000 of those dollars are coming from the Ministry of Children and Community and Social Services, and that's for the VAW work, the Child Witness and Child Trauma Program. Another $60,000 comes from the Ministry of the Attorney General. That's to run the Partner Assault Response Program. And then we received $85,000 from United Way to run the Community Counseling Program. The rest is fundraised by us. We had a gala 2 years in a row that brought in money, but we couldn't do that again. And so that's where we're at.
So what's the actual gap that you need to fill to balance the budget?
Oh, you mean if we were to continue operating this year, we would probably need at least $60,000 just to offset the fundraising, just to be at the level that we were at last year. And that's running a very trim ship. But the problem is that the agency has been unable to hire an ED It's really a full-time job, and we've always had a part-time ED. Last year, I stepped in off the board for what I thought was going to be a couple of months, just while we got things going again, and I ended up being there 8 months. And I worked for free, which helped us, you know, right the ship and get us okay financially for last year, but also got us to the point that we realized that unless we get somebody who's qualified and works for free, we're unsustainable, which is why we looked for another agency with the infrastructure to provide the management so that we could focus just on providing the clinical services.
You and I talked just over a year ago. And at that time, there was a real demand for services. It was at the just after the beginning of the pandemic. We had gone through the first wave. And you identified a lot of concerns around the impact of the pandemic on the mental health of people living in Northumberland. You were seeing it in your clients. And while there hadn't been an overwhelming wave of people coming to see you at that point, you were concerned that there would be more coming in the future. Can we just look back over the last year and what was the actual demand and how did the pandemic impact the level of service that you guys provide?
Yes, when we talked, I think it was in May, so our new year began April. So April and May were quite quiet, and that was the beginning of the pandemic, and I think people were just like, I'm not going anywhere, I'm just going to see what this is all about. But as we got into June and then July and for the rest of the year and until now, people realized that I have to get services because I can't wait any longer. So our numbers did shoot up and we were very busy. And our agency tries to keep a maximum of a 3-week waiting list. And it got over that because we could not service people fast enough there for a while. We kept catching up and then we would, you know, hold it and then we would lose a little bit and then we caught up again. Our counselors were very busy. I had to bring in somebody else and increase their hours just to keep us going. Luckily, I was able to find that person. So it was very busy this year in the end, and it still is busy. So we are taking names, creating wait lists, and helping people find other services.
I also wonder, too, that your agency, your center, serves a particular economic group that would not normally have access. How serious is this? Can you put this into context for us so that we can understand just how significant this particular demographic is and that may not end up being served if this all closes down?
Well, yes. Of let's say we have 1,000 clients a year, probably close to 50-60% of those individuals are people who could never afford. They don't have work benefits. They don't have EAP services. They're underemployed themselves. And they're paying, you know, almost zero to come to see us. And many of them are also rurally based. They don't live in either in Cobourg or Port Hope. They're living outside. And so that is a group that I do worry about very much. They already have barriers. A lot of our clients don't even have a ride to come into town, which was interesting because that the pandemic and counseling by telephone was actually it made it easier for them because now it was accessible. Zoom wasn't often accessible because they didn't have data, but they could counsel by phone. So that actually improved. Which was a good thing. So there is a sizable number of our clients who they need us to exist to get the level of counseling that they require.
Forgive me, but when I hear what you're saying, I wonder why the board or the organization didn't say something more publicly earlier about the financial straits. Why was it left to be at the last moment so that you're telling me now that there's nothing much that people can do? Why wasn't the community given an opportunity to help?
Well, we were going to need help, to be honest. When we first put our proposal forward, it made so much sense. We got so much positive feedback for it. We thought we were going to go ahead with that. And it was just a matter of adjusting contracts and making sure that CCRC had enough critical mass to be able to keep the doors open. We actually thought it was going to go forward because it made sense. So that was the first month or so. So that's, you know, April, beginning of May, end of May. And then we heard that everything was going to, you know, be put out to tender. And then we tried to advocate more for ourselves at that point, thinking surely if we just speak to people, you know, they'll see the merits of our proposal. And it just dragged out. And then the contract awarding process by the ministry is long, and they're following their protocol, and we respect that. So we got into that, and we got to this point where we are now 1 month away, possibly, from having to close.
So what's next? Is there any other steps between now and the end of July?
Well, it depends which way things go. So we'll hear about the two contracts in the next 2 weeks. At this point, our agency is starting transitional. Well, we've been doing transitional planning with Community Counseling and Resource Center about staff, about clients already, and see what they can take on, and talking about different scenarios. If they get the money, it will be a very smooth transition. We're very similar. We use the same database systems. We have the same counselors and their professional credentialing and licensure. So that'll be very easy. If they don't get the contracts and they decide that they can't offer and keep the doors open of the agency, they may look for a smaller place to open with only one or two staff. That's all up in the air now, and so we will help them with that transition as much as possible. So, and then we continue to terminate services with our clients. We are meeting with everybody to see where they're at. A lot of our clients were ready to move on or felt that they could move on for now. And the newer clients, we were doing short-term solution-focused therapy to deal with the issues at hand coming, you know, mainly from pandemic and anxiety. And so we worked with those, and they always knew that they would be, 4 to 6 sessions rather than an ongoing sort of therapeutic relationship. So that's where we're at. It depends what happens. We still don't know.
Chris Bailey, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Oh, you're very welcome.
That was Chris Bailey, chair of the board for the Northumberland Community Counseling Center. During the interview, Bailey referenced meetings with local MPP David Pacini. In an interview, Pacini confirmed that he had met with officials from the center. He said the matter lies with the Ministry of Children and Social Services, and he commended the efforts of the center and its proposal. However, he said the ministry must go through a formal process. Pacini said he cannot interfere with that process, but is confident the community will be well served once the ministry makes its announcements. You can hear Pacini's full response in an interview posted to the show's website at www.consider-this.ca. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.